Hi, I'm Jeremy Kirk with Intel 471, and welcome to Studio 471, which is our regular video interview series. Some organizations have been reluctant to share threat intelligence, even though it's super useful for other organizations to get a handle on current threats. With me to discuss this today is Sydney Jones, who's the head of threat intelligence at CLS Group. Thank you very much for joining me, Sydney.
Thanks for having me.
So tell me a bit about yourself. What do you do, and what's your background?
Sure. So I'm the head of threat intelligence at CLS Group. And just as a reminder to everyone, these views reflect my own, not my firm, as I like to say. So I've been here a couple of months. I'm starting to mature their team a little bit more. And then prior to that, I was in a few other financial firms, also standing up and maturing their threat intelligence teams. I've been working in the financial sector for about 9 years now. And prior to that, I worked for the government, doing cyber threat intelligence analysis and also policy.
Great. And so, there's been a reluctance around sharing for quite a while, and the industry always talks about the importance of sharing. What are some of the reasons that you've heard that organizations are, maybe don't want to share indicators?
I think a lot of firms are concerned in thinking that when we talk about sharing, we're talking about sharing, information related to the firm itself, their material non-public information or their personally identifiable information, or if you're in the health sector, health information. But those really aren't what we're trying to share in the realm of threat intelligence, because we're wanting to share information related to the actual threats. So the stuff that's coming in externally to your network, the phishing email sending address, the domain that's coming from, what is the header information in that email? What are some of the TTPs that we're observing within our network that we hadn't seen before? File hashes sometimes not that valuable, but sometimes we share that information. DDoS information, what's attacking our network. But then we also want to share what we're doing to defend against these types of threats. So if we've learned something that's new or useful that we may not have done before that we've come up with, we want to share that also out with our partners so that we can also all together build our defenses to improve the overall cybersecurity of the industry.
Do you hear concerns about, oh, are the regulators, this might cause regulatory issues? And how do regulators, I guess, broadly view, sharing incident information?
Yeah, I think there are some people who think the regulators are not wanting firms to share information with each other. And while that may be a concern in some sectors, I know at least in finance, it's a big push for us to be sharing it. We should be showing that we are part of an information sharing group. Most of us are part of the FSISAC. There are also some smaller information sharing organizations apart from that. Each sector has its own ISAC. So, if you're not in finance, go look for your own ISAC as well. And then also, there's a lot of different frameworks that highlight the importance of sharing. So, the FFIEC, NIST, a few others actually tout the importance of information sharing because there is such specific information for your sector or for your peer firms or fellow firms that are similar to you of the threats that they are seeing, that if you're able to share back and forth with each other, you'll be able to share information related to threats that are happening today or this week versus getting the overarching threats that could be happening to a completely different sector. So for us, like somebody targeting a small mom and pop shop, not as helpful as another large financial institution.
And when you've set up sharing programs at several organizations before, and when you go, this is a good idea, we should do this, this is how we can benefit, what are some of the, I guess, questions that you get from management that are not in, the narrow CTI sphere?
A lot of them are kind of wondering, like, why are we sharing? What's this thing that you're wanting to do? Like, why would I want to talk to my competitors in this space about what we're seeing? So it's a lot of talking in the back of, like, I don't know your business objectives or your plans or what your goals are or, the nitty-gritty of what makes this business actually make money. I don't know. So first off, I can't share that because I don't know it. But then also letting them know that, like, that is not what we are intending to share. We are trying to share, we've seen some bad guys targeting us and we want to share that with others. We were able to defend against it by doing X, Y, and Z. And also the benefits we get from receiving that information. So a lot of times I kind of highlight, like, we got this information in open source, but this is the information we got from a more closed source and how helpful it was. You know, somebody had an incident, like a fellow third party client of ours and someone else, and they were able to share information with all of us and how helpful that was for us to do our own investigation. So kind of providing those real world examples of how other firms' information to us was helpful to us and how we wanted to give back to them as well.
And do you find when you're making that case that what's the level of understanding about CTI at the higher sort of business levels? Are you finding that you have to, is it, I don't know if a difficult conversation is the way, but it can get quite technical quite quickly. And there's a lot of terms of jargon in CTI that higher business leaders may not know. How do you kind of
Right.
overcome that?
Right. So another big part of Intel, especially when you're within your own company, is you're doing, you know, your regular interactions with the businesses. You're kind of selling yourself, basically, selling the importance of Intel. And so hopefully you've already had that interaction with the higher business leaders to explain, like, remember this presentation I gave a couple months ago, like it's related to that type of activity. We gave an overview of a threat actor and what they're doing in the sector and how we, you know, how it could have impacted us and what we did to prevent that. So those are things we want to share, and how, you know, we gave you that story. That's kind of the story we want to share back out. And that usually helps as well.
And I want to talk a bit about the nuts and bolts of actually sharing. So you've gotten the go ahead to do it. How do you structure that, you know, when you've got, like, I guess, analysts, you know, you've vetted an alert, it is a legitimate, you know, sort of, you know, I guess, kind of attack in a way. How much leeway do you give, I guess, sort of analysts to go ahead and just, you know, put that on the portal? Or, and we should probably explain, like, the ISAC portal sort of system as well. But how do you put this into practice?
Yeah, so there's a few steps in this practice. So I usually start off with an information sharing procedure that kind of documents exactly how it should go, what type of information we're going to share. So again, only sharing external threat information or best practices that we have learned. So focusing on those types of information. And then also giving examples of like an IP address or a hash or sending domain or some sort of malicious TTP that we've observed, a type of malware. And then also the best practices. And then part of that procedure documenting all of that would also document like who has the authority to send it externally, who, you know, where do we send that, which partners are we sending it to, how do we keep a record of who we send it to, and then if we can keep a record of if we know how that's being used externally as well by our peers. And then getting that entire procedure approved by, you know, not only information security leads, but also legal or compliance, so that they're on board with this, that they understand why we're doing it, that they're okay with the steps that are happening. Because if you're just doing it without legal or compliance, that's probably not the best way to go. Like these are your friends. They're going to be your friends if you actually have a cyber crisis. So you want to make sure that they're okay with you sharing this threat information back out. And then when you're actually sharing the information, like, hey, we got this phishing email, having the analyst go through, strip out anything that would be related to your firm. So not just the recipient email, but even when you're sending it out, most of the time when I'm sending information out, even to a listserv or in a portal, I'll list like the TLP marking. So usually amber, if it can be shared further, or red, it can only be, only the person receiving it can have that information. And then also I like to do non-attribution. So another way that I help the non-attribution is to make sure that in anything in the body of the email I'm sending or the Excel spreadsheet I'm sending has nothing related to my firm on there. It's just so that if it is TLP Amber and they can share it further, it makes it easier for the recipient to share that information into the rest of their security team. And then you also mentioned the ISAC portal. So within FSISAC, there is a portal where you can share your information. They're completely non-attribution, so that FSISAC will see who sent in the information, but when it goes back out to all the other members of the FSISAC, it does not say which member firm submitted it. And then within the ISAC, there's also the non-disclosure agreements. So that's another way to get your legal and compliance on board, is knowing that there are these non-disclosure agreements in place as part of this partnership.
Right. And then
and
how do
one
you...
more,
Yes, go ahead.
Forgot one more thing.
Sure.
Your analyst should not be sending this out without somebody else approving it or doing a just a sanity check of the information. So.
Right. So you have that for each sharing, I guess, activity then. Somebody just does a
Yes.
little sanity check on it to make sure that nothing sensitive is going out.
Yep.
And then how do you track the wins then? Like when you get something that you find that your company finds valuable, or that do you even, I guess if there's no attribution, you probably don't necessarily get feedback directly from somebody else from intelligence that you've shared, but how do you show that this reciprocity and goodness is working?
I think, with especially within the smaller information sharing groups or groups where it's an email, even though you're saying not an attribution, people will reply back and be like, oh, like this was really useful, or we were able to do X, Y, and Z. Also, sometimes in email listservs, people will reply back with, like, we've seen this activity as well. And we also have these additional indicators that we've uncovered that you didn't share. So it's just kind of that building on top of each other's information.
And as far as sharing and how much to share, there's large organizations probably have more resources, small organizations maybe not so much. What do you find
Right.
is some of the most, I guess, useful things to share? I mean, I know it's a variety and it depends on, where you are and a lot of other factors, but what things end up being useful?
I think, if there's someone who's seeing a new type of campaign within the sector or something that, no one had seen recently. So, like a few years ago, there was the group Fancy Lazarus that was going around and like sending emails out to different companies. And so then we were starting to share that information about, like, oh, we've seen this email recently. Oh, now we've seen their email. Oh, now we've seen their email, to kind of track that campaign. That was very useful. So, if it's a campaign that's kind of going throughout your sector, that's useful. If it's a new tactic you've not observed before, it's also useful. If someone experiences a DDoS every day, sharing that information on a daily basis may not be useful, but if it's like a new record that they've not seen, or they hadn't had a DDoS in a while and they are now, that information's helpful. Also, if you have a smaller team, like maybe one person doing info security or one person doing CTI, if you're seeing something you've never seen before, that's probably a useful thing to share. But if it's you're just trying to stay afloat and stay on top of everything, like, I wouldn't worry as much about sharing as much as just trying to make sure that you're able to stay on top of the threats that are actually, targeting you, and also maintaining an understanding of what's happening in your ISAC channel or your vendor channel. But for these larger companies that will actually have a dedicated external engagement person or team or information sharing person, I think they have the more time and leeway to actually do a lot more engagement, a lot more sharing, just because of, the time and the remit that they have.
I understand ISACs like to have reciprocity in that if they allow someone in, they want to ensure that they're sharing and not just kind of consume. So, I mean, how do you maintain that balance and ensure that everybody's kind of contributing to the community?
There's also the part of not just needing to share information, but also within at least the FSISAC, we have a lot of communities of interest. So we have communities related to a specific subsector of the financial sector. So attending those meetings or, emailing on a listserv, a lot of times it's like, hey, we're trying to figure out how to implement this new detection. Has anyone else had experience with it? Even replying to that type of email would be useful. Again, because especially these smaller firms, they don't have as many people to be like responding to these emails all the time or being on top of everything. But maintaining that smaller community of partners is helpful, because then you know that those are the people who are dealing with the same problems you are, versus like, I work in a market utility. I'm not as concerned about credit card theft or fraud as a big bank. So I'm not talking with the bigger banks on that aspect as much, but they want to talk with each other, especially those who deal in credit cards with each other, or a small, broker dealer would want to talk to another broker dealer just to have that information and sharing amongst their subsector.
And trust is really important here too. And I know in previous presentations, you've talked about the importance of kind of face-to-face contact as well, and not just sort of meeting online, but also in person. How does that contribute to, I guess, strong sort of sharing circles?
It contributes a lot. I mean, we have not met in person, but we have enough people in common that I feel like I can trust you, and vice versa, I'm sure. And then also during COVID, it was very difficult to do a lot of in-person interaction, but I actually built out an external engagement program during COVID. So it is possible to have these trust partnerships built up and matured without needing to be in person. But I think just making those regular meetings, you know, if you are wanting to work on partnership work or information sharing work, it may take time out of your day-to-day job. So you may need a few extra hours to dedicate to this. You know, interact with your law enforcement partners before you actually need them. If you don't know who they are, you know, ask a friend. Ask if you don't have a friend, then ask your ISAC to then introduce you to a local law enforcement person. If you're looking for somebody else in an ISAC to talk to, either in your city or in your sector, try to reach out to them. If you're not part of an ISAC, see if there's somebody else in your information security space that you know, and try to start asking them for, you know, referrals, or ask them for the questions that you have, and maybe someone else in their network knows. And so there's a lot of, you know, trust but verify, but there's a lot of, hey, I know this person and I know you, so I'm going to put you two together. And once you have that connection built, then others will start to trust you, your recommendations on an individual.
Terrific. Well, Sydney, thank you very much for joining me. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me.